Hello, everybody. I'm Del Shores.
And I'm Emerson Collins, and you're watching The Del and Emerson Show.
Straight talk.
Real gay. Look at you. So real gay. Hi, sissy.
I want to go and do an Olin Mills. Remember Olin Mills?
I do. It was all our family portraits.
With my dog, my chihuahuas. This is the sweetest. This is Sissy Marie. Now run along.
We always did Olin Mills portraits growing up. And then like we lived overseas. And when we came back, we did Walmart one year. And we got dressed to the nines to go to Walmart to get cheap family photos made in their little photo booth. And they're probably the best photos we've ever taken.
Well, one of my favorite photos ever of my kids is I was in Palestine, Texas with my mom and dad, and we're all there with my brother's kids, and my mother said, oh, let's get photos here at the Walmart. And we got Rebecca, and so we had Rebecca and Caroline and their cousins. It was great.
Yes. So. Well, we have a great show today. If you are watching on YouTube or Periscope or Facebook, welcome. Please share the broadcast with your friends. You can start a little watch party, invite your friends to come hang out with us for an hour. We have two incredibly special guests. The deliriously insane and hilarious Dixie Longate will be joining us.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear how she's holding up.
I know she's got all them kids and... I'm sure it's a struggle. Her life was a struggle before. I can't imagine what it is now. And then, of course, we will have incredible music from our dear friend, the incredibly talented, vocally gifted Debbie Holiday.
Yes. Very exciting show for y'all. How you doing, Emerson? Everything good in Palm Springs?
It's fine. You know, we've turned the house into a studio doing shows every night. Been watching The Real Housewives with the boys. Did you watch Beverly Hills? The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills?
I did. Boy, those teasers coming up about Denise, if you leave, they will throw the fuck under the bus, just the whole body slamming you.
I mean, now here's some interesting things I've learned from the online. First of all, it was interesting that they broke the fourth wall and showed us like the setups for their confessionals, talking about Denise walking out of the show and then the surprise comeback and what's she going to say. But also, I read somewhere, you know, on Twitter, that in the early seasons, when the women didn't want something to get on camera, they would say, like, bravo, 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 because they knew they wouldn't use it because they didn't want to show behind-the-scenes stuff. And it kind of seems like somebody told Denise that, because that clip where she was like, bravo, bravo, fucking bravo, it seems like maybe she was trying to not let this conversation end up on the TV, but they didn't care.
No, it's juicy. It's very, very juicy.
Okay. Well, and also, we're so far into reality TV now. Everyone understands how it works. Showing that behind the scenes stuff is now compelling. It's not ruining the illusion or anything.
I found it interesting, though, when like Lisa Rinna was going, when you sign up for this, this is what you do. You expose your life. Do you think that I wanted to share that my daughter has an eating disorder? I'm wondering, well, but what did your daughter want? Did she want all that?
I mean, I felt like they did deal with that really well, but I feel like her point is true. Like, you sign the contract, you show up to show your life. If somebody brings part of your life out that you didn't plan to talk about, sorry about it.
You know what? On another note, I just think that Tom Girardi is so sweet. And I have to tell a little bit of a story about Tom Girardi.
That's Erica Jane's husband, for those who don't know.
And who offered to help Teddy with her, no, not Teddy.
Denise, with her divorce.
With her divorce. Come see me. Well, my ex-wife, Kelly, works at a physical therapist office, and Erica Jane, or Erica and Tom are patients there. And my daughter was having an issue, my daughter Rebecca, she had a dog that was in a skirmish with another dog, and the woman put her hand in the middle of a dog fight and got bitten and then sued my daughter. Tom Girardi heard my ex-wife talking about that. He said, call me, let me help her take care of this. Completely, he said, she's a school teacher. I know she doesn't have any money. Completely pro bono, he represented Rebecca and got a tiny settlement that was really, it was just a sweet thing. So, you know, we see all this stuff and you think, oh, it's illusion. It may be, you know, for the cameras. But no, that was not for the cameras. So there's a little story for you.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And also, I watched last night, Disney did their big, like, at-home sing-along with, like, the lyrics on screen and the little bouncing Mickey with, like, a bunch of celebrities singing from their house. And I will say that the highlights were Beyoncé's surprise appearance, where she sang "Wish You When You Wish Upon a Star." And I love that Beyoncé is always Beyoncé, because the lighting behind her was so blown out. It was such a close-up. And she was clearly like, I'm not showing you people my house. Like, here I am. It was like she sang, when you wish upon a star. Like, she was like, this is all you get is my mug.
I wanted to watch it, but I fell asleep dead on the couch after Top Chef. It was, I was just done. I was done with the day. But of course,
and
I'm 30.
My other favorite piece was Ariana Grande sang from Hercules, I Won't Say I'm in Love. And that girl is truly a real Disney nerd, because she sang the lead vocal. She did each of the five muses, and she literally took like sculpture things and put them on her head so that the image on screen matched the exact image for each of those five women in the movie as they like threaded them all together. I was like, that is a super fan. You committed to this and clearly spent all day shooting these little pieces to make this video. And I applaud effort.
Was Blake MacGyver just going nuts?
Oh my God, yes. Hercules is his favorite of the movies by far. And he was watching it like, okay, Ariana, let's see. And he was like, okay, okay.
By the way, I watched his cocktail party today that you had a duet on. I shared it on my fan page for those of you on the... on my page, go up there and you can see Emerson sang. It was good.
We did a little duet.
I gave a
from the Hercules stage show on Blake's little show.
Yes.
Well, all right, y'all, I do see your comments. If you have questions for us or questions for Dixie and Debbie, write them down and we'll get a little later. I'll make sure I ask them. So keep rolling in. And let's get on to the news, Daleford.
All right, yeah, we go to LGBTQ. Did I say all the letters? Nation, all the time for some news sources. And they posted a story with a headline that was very controversial. If HIV was God's punishment for gays, then coronavirus is punishment for conservative Christians. Woo! It was like, whoa.
That's so much.
That's some balls to write that headline. So I have to applaud Mark Siegel, who wrote the article, because he did what I really like to do, and it's like to show the absurdity of it all. And so his article said, when it comes to the pandemic, I can offer two truths. We are all in this together, and this will come to an end, even though we don't know when that will be or what life will be like afterwards. Despite those truths, religious extremists are blaming the virus, as they do with the ills of the world, on the LGBTQ community. But if you take their own hateful rhetoric, the facts actually show the reverse. This all started with the AIDS crisis, when evangelicals said that God proved his anger at homosexuals by putting that plague on their capital city, San Francisco. He goes on to explain, so according to their logic, if God showed his anger on the issue of LGBTQ equality by striking San Francisco with AIDS, then God must now be angry with religious people by striking the headquarters of the world's religions with the COVID-19. Rome, headquarters of the Catholics. Athens, the headquarters of Greek
Orthodox.
Orthodox. Oh, it's misspelled there. That's why I thought I was going to mispronounce. Moscow, the headquarters of the Russian Orthodox, and then London, home of the Anglican community, Mecca, the home of the Muslims. It goes on, Jerusalem, home of the Jewish faith, and Salt Lake City, city, home of the Mormons.
I love Salt Lake City.
I'm so sorry, Salt Lake City, don't write me letters. As the extremists always say, God's plagues are aimed at those who utter hate speech against their chosen followers. Well, it turns out in this case, the chosen people are the LGBT community. So to those preachers still spreading hate, I say stop blaming people and start helping people. Your homophobic sermons only harm your followers by spreading misinformation. The truth is, we are all here to help each other. And that's how you get through a moment like this, a moment. We in the gay community have understood that since day one. we know the value of working together, and we've seen that it works. Amen.
This is where we differ on stuff, because I find this headline so incredibly unproductive. Like, you have to read so deep into the article of the, like, I don't know how, what you're accomplishing fighting fire with fire. Like, who is this? I guess you're just preaching to the choir, because none of those people are going to read past the headline to get to your point. So it's like, yay, that feels good. But like, did you do anything with this?
Well,
I don't know.
Okay, devil's advocate here, because I was a journalism major. You, as the writer, you rarely write, you don't write your headline. Now, I don't know if he wrote this headline or not. So perhaps the editors for clickbait wrote this headline, and he actually wrote, in my opinion, a very insightful article.
Yeah, so, but my point is, none of those people are getting past that headline. So, you know, whoever's decision, it's like, yay, that felt good, but...
Well, none of those people. Are you saying that, like, Christians come to LGBTQ Nation to read articles? Or
Well, it seems like the point of his article is to talk to those people saying, what you are doing, if we do it back to you, does that feel good, right?
Right.
Well, so the intent is for them to read it. I just think you don't get them when that's how you start.
I see.
But it got a lot of attention, so...
It did.
That's the goal.
I liked it, and sometimes.
All right. We talk. You know, when crises get as big as the one that we're in right now, it starts to become like when people say like $1 trillion. You know, it's an imaginary thing. It starts to become hard to focus when something is so broad. And I read this story that's really heartbreaking about this paramedic in New York. His name is Joshua Rodriguez. He works for the fire department of New York, the EMS division. And he talks about his experience going into people's houses. He says, I'm walking into a house, seeing 3 or 4 family members who are all sick. It's just me and my partner. And I know the next ambulance can be 10 or 15 minutes away because we're all so strapped. Everyone is so busy. So it's his job to decide on the scene who can be treated there, who's well enough to stay home, and who should be hospitalized. But he knows, he says, the hospitals aren't allowing visitors. So now I have to treat this family member and have the whole family there watching, worried. And we just try to be honest with them and let them know this may be the last time that they see their family members. Now, he himself was infected and recovered from the coronavirus. He shaved his head to prevent it from attaching to his hair and to make it easier to wear his mask. And it's limited his own social interactions. He said, I can't go home and hang with my friends. I can't go home and see my family. I haven't kissed my partner since this all started. A lot of alone time when I get home, so I pick up more shifts, but we're all getting through and we'll still be here. EMS will be here no matter what. We'll keep coming back. And we talk a lot about the frontline people and the risks they're taking, but also how much their job makes their own life exponentially harder for all of those reasons. We don't, you know, they can't touch anybody they love. There's no way to ensure they're getting clean enough and getting rid of it all. And just wanted to sort of applaud him and use him as an example of the incredible work that members of our community are doing in the healthcare community on behalf of all of us.
Yeah. And we have to really keep applauding and supporting and cheering on those people who are putting their lives at risk. I mean, it's just, I don't know that I could do it. Could you?
I mean, no, I mean, that's, you know, that is a calling, like teaching, healthcare, all of those industries where you don't get paid enough and you work incredibly long hours. They make incredible sacrifices for the rest of us to be able to, you know, sit and randomly spout nonsensical opinions on the internet.
Well, and I have to say, you know, because we give shout outs to people we know and adore. Brandi Clark did an amazing show the other day on her Facebook to honor all those people in healthcare. And she sang Hold My Hand, which was, as you know, that song just like, so, I love the support that our entertainers are giving to people as well. So anyway, here we go. I love this story because it happened in San Antonio, Texas, which is my brother's family lives there and I go there often. So a judge in Texas, this is over the rainbow flag. A judge in Texas has been sanctioned by the state for displaying the rainbow flag in her courtroom. Now, my favorite part of this article is her name. The judge's name is Rosie Speedlin Gonzalez, and she flies this rainbow flag in her courtroom, shows everybody is welcome. That's what her philosophy is. Everybody's welcome she didn't think it would be a problem because there are other judges who have flags and symbols in their courtrooms. But there was a lawyer named Flavio Hernandez who was offended by her rainbow flag. He filed a complaint with the Texas Commission, and they actually sanctioned her and asked her to take it down. So they went even a little bit further. She didn't like her robe, and it had some color in it, but it actually wasn't a rainbow. So her pin had a stripe of cloth. It was actually the colorful Mexican design of Mexican flag design. So, and that's what was on her robe as well. And they thought that they were pride symbols. So anyway, she said they're just colorful. And she is now, because she feels that they overreached, she is appealing the decision, says it violates her freedom of speech. And
good for her. I mean, it sounds like just straight up unvarnished bigotry. Like, other people can have other stuff, but no, your rainbow is a problem. You know, it's just that thing. They're just so angry and they want that rainbow back.
They do. But hey, we got it. And we said, no, it's ours now.
All right. Well,
a little piece of it.
In considering, you know, we're a lot of focus on our local and national stuff right now, but want to pay attention to our communities around the world that are struggling in many ways further behind us. And in Poland, the Parliament of Poland voted yesterday. There's a bill in progress that's called a Stop Pedophilia Bill, but the name is really a misnomer. It's a disguised, because the bill is really not about sex with minors, but it's focused on sex education. Poland doesn't currently require sex education in public schools, but the current this law that's being proposed would go much further than not having curriculum. It would impose a penalty of up to 3 years in prison for teachers who provide sex education to children at all. The bill's explanation of why that's bad brings up homosexuality multiple times, including a statement that says sex ed teachers groom and familiarize children with homosexuality. The bill's supporters made it clear they were trying to link pedophilia and same-sex activity, writing, "The organizations and activists most involved in the promotion of sexual education in our country are the LGBT lobby. Children are sexually awakened and familiarized with homosexuality." Ola Kazarek, an LGBT activist who works with the organization Love Does Not Exclude, said, "This would make it impossible for us as educators to come into schools and teach kids about humans, about what makes us us and what's gender identity or sexual orientation. And usually school is not a friendly environment for non-heterosexual kids, but now it will be even harder." So they're using that scare tactic of linking same-sex activity and pedophilia to be able to keep any of it from being a part of education for young people in school. So sending a lot of love out to the activists in Poland struggling and working to fight that kind of fear-mongering.
So, yeah. And then disgusting Aaron Schock is back in the news and the gay news.
Shocking.
Just he's quarantining at a Mexican luxury beach resort. And the way we found out is some instigate posted a picture of, you know, six guys and with their six packs and their swimsuits by the rocks at the oceans in Mexico. How in the world can you hang out with this motherfucker? I just don't get it. I really don't. And to post a picture with him. So he's always the newly out former GOP Representative Aaron Schock. If you don't know who he is, just Google him. It's disgusting. And of course, it set the internet on fire. Well, the gay internet. West Hollywood political activist. And I love James Duke Mason's quote so much. He broke the news on Facebook. He was the first to break it. And here's what he said. So not only is Aaron Schock a disgraced ex-politician who spent years voting against the right of his own people and still has not apologized, he's also a moron who is partying with friends in Mexico, all caps, during a global quarantine. Journalist Sam Stryker added on Twitter, "This group of instigates quarantining at a resort in Mexico with Aaron Schock seems to have a very different definition of social distancing than the rest of us." And this I just fucking love. "I don't know who needs to hear this, but fucking a disgraced former GOP congressman is not essential business."
The accuracy. I do love Sam Stryker. And it's so fascinating because this is not the first time somebody's posted a photo with Aaron and had like the internet rain down on them. This has been happening for the last year. He was at the Standard in West Hollywood when he was at those bars in Mexico. There's a level of like disconnect and unawareness with this sort of delusional, pretty privileged instigay who's like doesn't care. It's like, if that's your friend and everyone hates them and the community like needs something from them, maybe like give it a breath. Maybe you don't need to share that with everybody. Because he posted that 9-page notes coming out story. And I said at the time, you know, with the work that we've done on religion and sexuality, I genuinely feel for the pain between him and his mother, with religion being the reason he didn't come to her sooner and that she didn't react well to it. But separate from that, you're one of the most powerful people in this country, and your 9-page discussion didn't include an apology for the work that you did against our community. And it's so easy to write the words, even if you don't mean them. And it was clearly intentional, because I think he's planning to run again as a Republican, and so he wanted to do the coming out and not apologize, so that later he can just say, this is who I am. Because 2 weeks later, he was at a Trump fundraiser in Beverly Hills after that coming out story.
Well, good. I hope he supports Trump, and I hope that it turns everybody against him. And here's what I have. Aaron, if you're watching, if someone knows Aaron, first of all, you're an idiot. You're an asshole. And until you do something for our community, rather, you know, other than just posing in a Speedo, do something. Do something to counter all of the bullshit that you voted against our rights. Just do something. But before you do something, yes, apologize. There.
It's literally the very least. You don't even have to mean the words.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in more important and genuinely important for our community news, CenterLink is the community of LGBT centers across the country. They have like 250 different LGBTQ centers in their membership. They released a letter signed by 160 of them urging the House and Senate leaders to specifically include LGBTQ nonprofits in future COVID-19 relief packages. Their letter explained that they are deeply appreciative that several of the relief programs in the CARES Act included nonprofit eligibility because they play a really important role. However, the implementation challenges have arisen with federal agencies and private entities that undermine congressional intent to provide economic relief. And they went on to give a list of things that would be helpful to them. And they closed saying, and I really agree, the reality is more assistance is needed for LGBT community centers. They are providing critical services, including medical care, mental health counseling, virtual support groups, prescriptions, programs for homeless youth, non-perishable food items, hygiene products, case management, HIV testing, and it goes on and on and on. They do so many important programs that target the most vulnerable members of our community, trans people, people living with HIV, homeless youth. And so I really hope that the next round of assistance will really address these organizations that work so hard for the most hard hit among us. And we love the work that they do.
Absolutely. Good story. We got a good one without me having to rant and be mean. All right, this is just self-indulgent, but
it's just a fun one.
Instinct Magazine. I love you the most now because they put out their cult classic films, a list of 7, to watch during this crazy time that we're in. The LGBTQ cult classic films that they listed: Mommy Dearest, anything directed by John Waters, Steel Magnolias, The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, The Birdcage, Sordid Lives,
woo-hoo!
Love, Simon. So,
oh, yay. I mean, that's great company for you to be in. They are all monster smash hits for our community. And you exactly earned that spot in it. But that's a very tight, specific list.
Thank you. I was when I got the Google alert, I was like, thank you, Instinct. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. And if you're enjoying the show right now, thank you to everybody watching. Wherever you're watching, share the broadcast with your friends. In a minute or two, we're going to bring in our guests. And also, we do this just for fun, for all of you to be entertained and have an hour to escape. But if you're one of the fortunate and you're watching and you have $1 or $5 or $1,000 that you want to send our way as a tip, you can Venmo me @EmersonCollins. It's in the banner at the ticker right below. or you can send it via PayPal to beardcollinshoresproductions@gmail.com. And as I say every time, I promise I will split it evenly with Dell.
You did. I got that Venmo. I was so excited.
I know. I've been sending them. And before we get to our guests, I want to share one more story that I really loved because it spoke to me personally. Gus Kenworthy, I'm sure you all know, is the out Olympic freestyle skier. But also, in addition to that, he's been a very witty, charming, cheeky presence on social media. Well, he's taken a sort of 6-week break that became noticeable to some people, and he just came back and posted saying that he'd been going through some personally challenging times. He says, "I know I've been MIA for the past month and a half, but this whole thing has been really hard on me. I know it's been a struggle for most everyone. One thing I've learned is that just because we're in isolation, it does not mean that we're alone. We're in this together. If you're struggling with depression and you've been feeling down and worthless, know that I have been too. In school, sports, and in life, I've always hated asking for help because I wanted to seem strong, brave, tough, self-assured, etc. But I've realized that sometimes you just need help, and when you need to, ask for it. It's literally what friends are for. Text a friend, say, I'm really down, can you talk? It will help. I'm thankful for my friends." And then he goes on to explain that in considering his own situation, he's joined Cameo, and he's going to donate 100% of the proceeds to First Responders First, and he'll match up to $10,000. Now, quick plug, Dell and I are both on Cameo, and we are donating our Cameo proceeds today and tomorrow to the Actors Fund, so you can book us both there. But I love that he talked about his mental health. You know, I've shared that my anxiety has been up and down through this as well. And I think the more we all talk about, honestly, about great days, terrible days, and there's a difference between severe anxiety that needs medical attention and the daily ups and downs of anxiety and depression, and knowing which one you're in is important, whether you need professional help or whether you just need to do outreach. But wherever you are, however you're struggling, if you're by yourself, reach out to people. I just love that he shared that message. I think the more we all talk about it, the more it takes away the stigma.
It's so important. Really, I love it too. And, I'm Emerson, I'm pretty up. I'm like an up person. You don't have to worry about my depression.
So
really.
Up. So up.
It's like there have been many people in my life who have said, "Dell, just let me get a cup of coffee before you start, please." But
yes, but even you, but it's important. You know, you have days that...
But here, during this time, I have to tell you, I've had those moments. So it's real, those hours where I just felt so lonely and alone. And, you know, I have my chihuahuas, but there's nobody to hug. My daughter, Rebecca, it comes over and sits on the couch way across the way. You can't even hug your own child. You know, it's just, it's tough. It's tough for so many. And today I actually agreed to do a benefit, a Zoom benefit for a mental health organization that Arianna Huffington is doing. I'm going to do like 10 minutes for them. And Alanis Morissette's going to be on it. So that was one of the reasons I also wanted to do it.
Yes.
But also, back to the Cameo, I love that he's doing that for Cameo. And I have to tell you, I did 6 today, and all the money and people tipped me very well. And none of it went to me. Not one dime went to me. It all went to the Actors Fund. And when I was probably 27 years old, I'd written my first play, and I was broke, and the Actors Fund paid my rent.
So. I love that. And now you get to give back. Also, I love that we sent out an email blast saying we were both available for cameos this morning, and Dell booked 6 and I booked. It's fine. My self-esteem's fine. Oh, all right. Shall we get to our special guest?
Okay. Emerson, I have a question for you then. If someone said a cameo, would you do, if they said specifically, will you do it in one of your Speedos? Would you do it in a Speedo for the?
No, actor? I can't do. You can't do like nudity-esque things on Cameo. I can do it with the jockstrap on my face.
Oh, okay. Oh, a jockstrap. That's a good one. And I.
Yes. All right. Should we get to our guest?
Oh, yes. Yes. I'm sorry. I was going to say I got booked at Jimmy Dell Watkins, which was also fun.
Yes. Have him do all the topics. All right. Is she ready? I can see her down there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to our show our very special guest, our very dear friend, Missy Longus.
Still handle it.
Honey, you got it. Oh, that is so close. It's so close. I can't wait. Every time I move, I'm not even, there we go. You know, and you're like in the middle and you're like, oh my God, you know, when your kids come up to you and they're like, mom, and you go, I don't speak English. And then you run away so they can't ask you a question. That's like my favorite new game I'm playing with my kids.
Wait, was that a semen cocktail?
No, how dare you? It is a moon pie martini. If I'm going to drink, I'm going to do it right. I did. I made a moon pie martini on account of the fact that, like, I've been doing these happy hours, like 5 days a week, where I get on and I just talk to people and I make a cocktail and I drink and I pick a topic of the day and I talk to people about the topic and then we just go through things like that. So it's fun. So a bunch of people have been asking me, hey, how do you put a moon pie martini in your mouth? I'm like,
how?
Well, and so I made one. And so what I did is you put, it's three ingredients from the bar and then one ingredient from the bedroom. So you put, it's Frangelico, it's rum chata, like saying it, and then it's chocolate vodka. And so you mix them one to one to one, and then you get the chocolate sauce from the bedroom, and then you drizzle the chocolate sauce in the glass first, and then you shake it up and you put it in. Now you can do like 1 ounce, 1 ounce, 1 ounce, but of course Jesus always said, you know, put more stuff in my glass or whatever. I don't know. It's like First Colossians chapter 8, and he said, put that in there or something. And so I actually do more of each kind.
What happened? Jesus behind, 3D Jesus watching over us behind me.
Oh my God, I should have thought of it. I have my mini inflatable Jesus I could have brought too. Because I have a Jesus above me, but it's in the other room. And right now my kids are playing. I don't know. I gave them a hammer and I was like,
you have a blow up Jesus?
Why don't you? Is the question. That don't know. I don't have a blow up inflatable Jesus.
Does he look surprised?
No, he looks like his eyes are closed. His lids are like this. But I do have, he's in prayer. He's deep in thought. But I do have like a big wiggly armed inflatable Jesus that looks like he's supposed to be at a car dealership going, thou shalt save $1,500 on late model Corollas, you know. But I can't do him right now because he don't fit inside. So you got to put him outside. So I do that when Good Friday comes up. He's like, hey, I'm dead. You know, good.
Did you identify as Christian, Dixie?
This, but who?
You.
Oh, yeah, honey, I'm on my knees for Jesus every day. That's important.
Yeah, someone wrote me the other day and said, I'm so glad that you're still practicing Christianity because they saw my 3D Jesus. I said, that has nothing to do with
it. I keep practicing it, and I don't get any better at it. That's the problem. You know, I did, like, I read my Bible, and I get to that part where Jesus turns water into wine, and I participate, and then I back out. Like, when I wake up, I'm like, oh, I forgot where I was, so I go back and read it again. And so, it's, you know, so I was like, oh, that's a good chapter. That's my favorite story. That's like the best part of the Hogwarts story ever. He's like, bibbity bobbity boo, and then he makes wine. I was like, yay, hey, everybody is.
Yeah, I stopped practicing a long time ago. I got really good at it and then quit.
See, it's like a doctor. When you get good at your practice, you can go help others. That's what I like. You're so nice.
Now, for a minute.
Tell me.
Dixie, where are you quarantined?
I'm at home. I'm in Mobile, Alabama with my kids. Yeah. So I was on the road. I was supposed to be in Denver right now. So I have, for some of your fantastic friends that might not know, I do a show called Dixie's Tupperware Party. And it started as an off-Broadway show back in 2007. And then I went on the road in 2008. And I'm still on the damn road. And I'm like, so when will it end? But then I come home like on a break and I'm like, the kids are here. I'm like, oh, I can't get wait to get back to work, you know. And so I was supposed to be right now in Denver, but then they canceled it because someone had the sniffles or whatever. And so then they pushed it back and then they pushed it back again. So now it's not going to be till next summer. And then a lot of, like, this whole season on the tour for me and for everybody, like all shows have sort of closed. So everybody's closed until at least till the fall, but then we'll see what happens. Everything's sort of like up in the air, you know. But we're doing our best.
I got to see that your show. It was so wonderful that in Thousand Oaks, I mean, the drive was a lot.
Well, that's my new show. Trust me, the drive from Alabama to Thousand Oaks is a lot. So you live in Hollywood, just go up the street and shush. No, that was my second show. So I have a second show called Never Wear a Tube Top While Riding a Mechanical Bull and 16 Other Things I Learned While I Was Drinking Last Thursday. And so that
very one. Very good advice.
It's very easy to print on the ticket.
And the marquee, they must have to extend.
You know, it's so funny. When I created the show, the first thing that the producer, because the Denver Center for the Performing Arts co-produced that show with me. They're very, very sweet. They developed it with me. And the first thing is that I went through the full first rehearsal with all the people in the room, like the producers and all the set designer, the lighting designer and everything. And the first comment was the producer going, how the hell are we going to write that on the ticket? And I was like, okay, that's the first thing that you think about. So it made me laugh. But, you know, so everything, all them, everything is shut down till the end. And you know my stuff. My, like, I always believe that my thing is about being real empowering and lifting everybody up. So all the stuff that I do is about finding ways to speak to people to lift them up and remind them of their own strength and remind them of their own power, which is why this is like a real interesting time for me, because I know, like you were talking about a minute ago, how there's people dealing with depression and people dealing with their circumstances so different because everybody's just thrust into it. It's not like there was a run and start. Everybody's just like, oh, there we go. Okay, your life is different now. And it is a hard thing. And so I've spent my days doing whatever I can do, which is, you know, I would be on stage anyway. So I take the time and I just get on and do these happy hour live things every day where I'm just going, let's talk, let's share some fun stories. Let me lift you up for, you know, a couple minutes and make sure everybody's on a good, you know, even keel. And then people are so sweet. They share nice comments with me. Then I sit down and I get back to all the comments because I don't want to be reading them all, you know, when I'm doing it, because then I just look like I'm reading the phone book, talking to people. And I know what I want more than that. And so I get back to people and I, you know, share nice things with them, make sure that they're doing okay. And a couple people have been real sweet and reached out and they're like, I'm real struggling. And so I do my best to kind of share some things to remind them about their lives, what they can do to help themselves a little bit, because it's a tough time. And I know a lot of people get sucked in. One of the things that I think so many people are doing is they go, oh, we have all this time, so we're just going to sit there and just do nothing. We're just going to watch TV all the day and we're going to do, you know. And everybody has said that phrase. Someday when I get the time, I'm going to do this, that, and the other thing. Well, it's like you got the time. Do something that's goal-oriented, that empowers you, that makes you excited about getting up in the morning, yeah, so you can do something, you know. And I do a thing. Like, I have a week. I've got a notebook. I got my whole week. I got, like, goals of the week that I'm doing. Then I have goals of the month that I'm doing. And then I have goals of the 3 month that I'm doing. So and this is something people have done before. It's not anything, like, new or clever or different. But now that you have all this time, it's like, okay, figure out how to do it. And sometimes, you know, it's hard because they're not, you don't have access to everything right now. You know, like the stores is closed. Like I was trying to make myself some stuff and I was like, okay, like I run out of elastic and I'm trying to make masks to help people, but you can't get no elastic. No, but it hasn't anymore. It's not out. So you got to figure out, okay, what can I do to be creative? Oh, Dale's going to get some elastic.
He's going to. Wait, now I have a very important question.
Damn it. I'm going to show you my mask.
That is so sticky. You know, where did you find something like that? That is so nice. Oh, I like it. Did you have that printed on there?
Matt Hayes, an Alabama boy gave it to me. Matt Hayes. We got the
Alabama people. It occurred to us, Dixie. Now you're finally stuck at home. You can't be dragging that trailer all around the country. So it's just you and them kids in the trailer in Alabama. Are you teaching them in the quarantine? How's teacher time going?
Well, I'm trying to do the good things, you know, because their teachers send home things like, you know, I got to go on the computer, wiggle on the button, and they're like, do that with your kids. I'm like, that's not my job. So I give them things. I've been play a lot of games, been fun. We've been playing games like quarantine games. We play like a scavenger. I read a mommy blog, which is like ladies who don't have time to drink. So I don't really understand that. But I said, okay, let me get some of this. And there's one that's like, do a scavenger hunt, hide things. So I was like, I'm not going to spend time hiding things. I'm like, you know how many things I've lost? And so I figured out, oh, I turn that into a game. Find things for mama that I lost. So I played this game one time. And she was like, how many batteries can you find in the couch cushion so I can put them in mama's bedside table so it don't get grumpy? You know, so that kind of thing. And we played how many full-size liquor bottles can you find under a queen-size bed, which is fun. The kids get in there and they find all my things, things that even have stuff still in them. I'm like, oh my God, I totally restocked the bar and I didn't have to wrench my back or nothing. Bend it down.
And then once they find everything, you can make it real hard and give them concepts. Say, can you find mommy's dignity, virginity, and sanity?
And then they got to learn things that I don't have time to teach them, because then I got to get out a book and a sock puppet and I don't have, it's a lot of work. The other day we would do the scavenger hunt and I went back in the baby's room by where the chloroform is and I found half a bottle of wine and I was like, there's still wine in here. And I was like, that is I gave a gold star right there. I said, Absorb Bean Jr., you just found something magic for mama. I love that. I don't want to know why I was sitting back behind this crib, but you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Also, you should teach him, you know, if you take a grape juice box and you just poke the straw in it, leave it in the top of the closet for a week or two, it's wine.
Oh my God, is that how you have to do it? I got in so much trouble. I got one of them juice boxes from a kid's on the end cap of a liquor store. I was in there, you know, getting supplies. And I was like, ooh, juice boxes for the kids, because they had grapes on it. I figured it's juice boxes. I get a call from the principal going, oh, why are you serving giving kids wine? I was like, I don't want to do that. the juice box apparently was wine. And I was like, but it's got a smile on it and a grape. Isn't that mean it's grape juice? He's like, no, that's wine. I was like, you got to send home a note if you're going to change the box tops, because now I got to learn different things. And I'm very busy when I go in. I don't have time to just shop like that. You know how people do. They're going to change things on Etsy things. And then you got to just reorder your whole day to fit other people in. And I'm so busy. You know, I'm trying to.
I read something that maybe I could pass this on to you. It said that a lot of people are teaching their children math by cooking.
Ew, gross. What a horrible idea. How do you teach somebody how to count by cooking? Hey, go in and make me one meal. Just like that? Would that work?
That's all there is.
This trailer so hard if we try that.
You tell them, this is a half a cup. Now, you know, that kind of thing with cups, I don't.
I'd be like, okay, how many ounces of vodka go into mama's liquid morning refreshment? All of it. That's how you count. All of it.
I'll say it also works with meth math. That's a choice too. Hey, yeah. If y'all are watching anywhere on the internet, I can see it. If you have a question for Dixie while she takes a deep breath, you can write it over there in the comments and I'll read it out here in a second. If you notice, the only time her lips stop moving is when she's drinking.
You know, that's true, because I got stuff to say. Wait, I just saw something from Ken. First of all, somebody said, Lifesaver said, Dixie, there ain't no oxygen left in the room. No, because I got stuff to talk about. I'm very busy. But you're the Lifesaver. Come on, work on it. So Ken was talking about the flubby. Okay, so this is my funniest thing. So today, a friend of mine messaged me today. She's like, I'm just in a state. And I was like, what happened? She said, well, I thought I had a flubby in the hall closet for the longest time. And I go in there because I was going to cut my hair. And it turns out it was a dirt devil. And I was like, first of all, we have so much to talk about. And I don't know why we're friends. Why do you think you have a flubby that you happen to have saved for that many years and you didn't even realize it was dirt devil? Like, when did that, like, at what point and how drunk are you one night when you're sitting on the remote control watching an infomercial and you couldn't bother to change the channel that you're like, I'll order that, because that's just wrong. And then it's not, and then I went to the, you cannot get a flubby now. Flubbies, the whole company, if you go to flubby.com or .org or whatever it is, they have a message that, like, because of the COVID, we are shutting down because we don't want nobody getting too close. So I was like, who's getting close to a Flovie? But apparently everybody is now. So you can't even order them from the factory no more. And I was like, you know what? I got a blade and a vacuum cleaner. I'm sure I can do something real good with this. Fine. You know, I got one of them leak blowers, you know, but it's got a reverse switch on it, so it'll suck. But you're not going to sit it down in church for a month and a half after you use that, but it feels so tangly when it's happening. It's really worth it.
Well, hey, Jesse Cole McGowan wants to ask you if you're still good at rimming your Tupperware.
I'm so good at rimming. Look, I learned it long ago that you got to rim. So some people don't even know it. You take the seal and you put it on, and then you rim from one side of the other, because you don't push it on like that, because then it won't seal right. So you got to rim from one side of the other. And I learned that at the Tupperware convention at the Jubilee, the big Tupperware convention they do every year in August in Orlando. And they taught me how to rim. And I was like, I had no idea that you could put so many housewives in one convention center and learn about rimming just lickety splits. And my friend Grant is on. My friend Grant sent me a picture right before we came on. He's like, I'm getting ready to watch. And he made a picture of a cheese tray. And I was like, you're watching and you got cheese? This is super classy.
I enjoy that. And also, I enjoy all the suburban ladies being into rimming. I'm glad that it's making it out there.
You know, and I ask every time I do my show, I get people up and I learn them different things about Tupperware that they haven't understood. And every time I get somebody up and I was like, let me explain the rimming to you. So I'll do it. And then I'll always find a lady that clearly has been used Tupperware millions of times. I'm like, have you rimmed before? And it's so nice to hear like somebody's grandma come up and go, oh, I rim every day. And you're like, you do. And that's how kids learn. That's helpful.
Like, I ordered some Tupperware from you this week. And I got my notice that FedEx is delivering it. I'm so excited because I was told that those salads that I make are going to last 3 times as long.
Because, look, you have come to my trailer, Dale, and you know, I have so much of that Fridge Smart, and I put it up in my thing, and people... like the thing about Tupperware that's amazing is people don't realize it is the best crap on the planet and it lasts forever. That's why your mama had some all the way back in the day and writes your name on Sharpie in the bottom so that she can keep it so you don't steal it from her. She don't want to have to go to your trailer and get it back. Okay, but that step will make everything last. So right now where you got all this food and you're too afraid to go to the grocery store, which I totally understand, you want to keep things fresh and longer, Tupperware is going to do that for you. And I tell you, when you get your Fridge Smarts for your fruits and vegetables, Mr. Daleford, you're going to love it. It's going to just
probably order more, right?
Yeah, probably.
If people want to order Tupperware from you right now, where do they go?
You can always go to DixiesTupperwareParty.com, which is the name of the show. And then there's a little button right at the top that says buy bowls. And you can click on the bowls and then you can get stuff right on the website. You know,
I love bowls.
Not bowls, honey. Not bowls, bowls.
And what time is your happy hour every day?
So you got the can opener, Dale. It's the best thing.
Your show at the Geffen.
Because you learn all kinds of stuff when you come to my program.
All the time I threw my electric one away.
God bless America, because you never know when there's going to be power outage because the hurricane moves your trailer into a different zip code and you're like, oh no, nothing works now. And I can't open nothing. How am I going to eat? And
it's a little, you know, plug. It gave me another plug space. I needed it for my air fryer. And now I don't have to worry about it because I have this.
I love that you are so Southern that you have an air fryer. Like, you are good Christian people.
Oh, I have an air fryer.
Emerson, you can find me all over the place. My happy hour. So I do my happy hour. I'm doing it 5 days a week. So I take 2 days off to be able to be like, kids.
To just drink on your own, because that's important.
You can drink on your own. That's the part. But I'm here to drink with y'all, y'all. And I talk about things that are going on. And now everybody's invested because the other day I was sitting back in the I live in phase two of my trailer park. And then right across the gully from me is phase three. But it's real hard to get across the gully because it's all flooded, you know, from the rains and everything. So, but across there is there's Sheila Dunmetty. Now, she's 93. She lives in a wheelchair, so she can't really do much. But she's got two grandbabies that come and play in their backyard all the time. Okay, because she got in a strange relationship with her daughter, but she still sees the grandbabies. There was a deflated bouncy house in her backyard. And I'm pretty sure that anytime there's a deflated bouncy house, usually there are kids still in it.
Yes.
Bad. And so, but then the next day it was gone. And she's 93. She's in a wheelchair. She can't go and haul that thing all by herself. She don't got the upper body strength. So somebody had to take that away. But nobody's heard from them grandbabies in like 2 weeks. So there's a mystery afoot. Nobody knows where these grandbabies are. And I'm fixing, if the rain lets up this week, I'm fixing to go. I got to go 3 miles out of the way to get to phase three because on account of the fact you got to go across the gully and you got to go all the way around. I'm not going to go through it and get my Montgomery Ward shoes on. You got to go. And then I'm going to knock on her door and be like, I'm a census taker. Where's the grandbabies? How many are they in here? And try to find them because I think somebody stole them.
But where?
I believe it. So wait, your happy hour is live on Instagram, yes?
No, my happy hour on Facebook. So I've been on Facebook and then I do like a little sweet thing on the Instagram, you know, just little sweet things to people because my Instagram following is kind of small. So if I'm going to sit there and ramble on Instagram, people are going to be like, shut this damn redhead up. But on Facebook, that's where a lot of people are coming and seeing me and everything. But then I always post stuff and then I can share links and everything. But if you're going to come and join me for one of my happy hours, like I'm going to do one tomorrow, probably in the late afternoon, you know, probably at 5:30 or something on the East Coast time, then that's usually I'm going to be there. Like I'll do it 5 days a week. And if I'm not going to do it, I'll post something else being like, hey, hooker, I'm taking today off because I'm already drunk or whatever, because I started early because I'm an overachiever. But otherwise, yeah. So I'll be
perfect.
There. It's a place to just smile and have some fun and let your hair down and have a cocktail with me.
Yeah. So find Dixie's Happy Hour on Facebook, follow her on the Instagram. Let's build that following up and let's bring to this ridiculous conversation our very special musical guest and friend, Miss Debbie Holiday.
Yay! Hey, sweet angel.
Hi.
Look at that bright smile. Isn't she so gorgeous?
Uh-oh, we're not here.
Oh, wait, Debbie, check your mic. Goddess. Go to your hit the settings and make sure the mic is authorized.
And that one time,
I love her glasses. They make her look so smart. She gonna go back out and she gonna come right back in.
Listen, I've had that happen. One time I had laryngitis and I was trying to have sex with this guy. And then all of a sudden he was like, tell me what you want. And I'm like, I can't do it. It was hard.
Oh my God. You with laryngitis is truly a cross to bear.
I know. It's like when Jesus had to go up them steps and all that. That's hard.
I know. Wait, I feel like if you got laryngitis, I could be your little Simon of Cyrene and carry the cross just for a minute, but then give it back to you.
Hey, if I
He's ever, my favorite character from the Bible that doesn't get enough credit. Simon of Cyrene's the one that carried it while Jesus was like, girl, I'm tired. Take this. Could you take this for a minute?
I thought that was 1980s with Simon and Simon. They were in that car and that's the mustache. It's so handsome.
There she is. Yes. Welcome, Debbie Holiday.
I can run Pro Tools, but I can't run StreamYard.
I mean, everybody's becoming a technology expert. Like, this is not what you signed up for. You're supposed to be an artist, just singing the songs. Other people do that.
My brain hurts.
But you look great.
You Thank look. You. And Debbie, I'm loving Debbie's Den on Facebook on Sundays. Every Sunday, y'all, at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, Debbie gives amazing concerts, and you must go to her Facebook and tune in.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a fun learning curve. You know, you got to try to make it as fun as possible, because like so many people, all of our shows are canceled, but I'm healthy and I can sing. I can sing, y'all. So
and you
I
know,
transformed my office into a little stage.
I know.
I mean, it's such a mood.
You have the best stage of anybody. You have these curtains, and it's
I love it. It's so dazzling. It's just like a whole. It's beautiful. I want to come in there and just use it, and then dress up in all your curtains.
That's what I want. I want it to feel warm and comforting because you know we need a little bit of that right now. We need a lot of that right now.
I tell you what I love about your show, not only the singing, is that you give a lot of love and warmth, and you can always tell when someone's faking it, and Debbie Holiday never fakes it. I feel that love just kind of pour through because we're all just here, and you really got me through Easter. It was Easter was not easy for me this year, and you know, just watching you and Levi and then you, it was just. It made my Easter a lot better than it was. And it was pretty shitty. So
it's made me realize how much we need each other. I performed in front of thousands live and never been nervous, just, you know, anxious or excited. But when I'm here by myself without being able to look into people's eyes and have that exchange, it's so like we really need each other. We need each other's energy.
Yes. It's like,
yes.
You know, you can't hear those claps.
I know. Applause.
I love
and Debbie. All of those shows you've already done, they're still there on Facebook if people want to go back and watch, right?
I have not deleted them. Yes, there are 3 episodes so far.
Y'all, put those up. It's a good 3 hours. Like, put it in the background while you futz around. Like, it's just such a mood. It'll make you feel good. And then tune in this Sunday for the new one.
Yes.
And you know, I know a lot of people are struggling financially, but so many artists, like all of us in this room right here, everything in our lives were canceled. Debbie had gigs. I mean, and Pride is, all Prides are canceled.
It's Pride season.
So we are at home and trying to think outside of the box. And, you know, it's not that it becomes a fine line because you know that other people are struggling and you don't want to say, but, you know, there are people out there with the means to hit that Venmo and thank God for them. And so
I will say this because I know, you know, not speaking for you, Debbie, but I know for many artists, it's hard to be really honest and say, you know, usually I get a fee and I just show up in front of you guys and I do my art and the people in the back handle the checks and the money and whatever. So it is hard for a lot of artists. It's hard for me to stand up and say, you know, hey, I'm going to do this and I just want to give it to you. But also I do need money. And so if you're watching and you don't have the means, don't feel guilty about just enjoying the content that people are putting out. They are not talking to you. But if you are one of the people that is fortunate and your life works well and you're enjoying artist content on any platform right now, look it up. If they're not telling to you, I promise you they have a Venmo or a PayPal or a website or something and contribute to them if that's something you can do. So that's my commercial for you.
I have talked to you about this.
That's why I give shout outs every show because I know so many friends that are doing the same thing and we're all in the same boat. I mean, it takes, let's be honest, it takes 4 to 6 of my Debbie's Den to make up for one live performance that's been
great. Yeah, and thank you for the shout outs you give us. We really, really appreciate it. And the one thing that I do besides a shout out, I believe in the flow. I do believe in the flow. We've talked about the flow. So whether it's $5 or whatever, anybody that I watch online, I hit their Venmo and give them a little money. So,
all right. Well, let's say a lovely goodbye to Dixie, and we'll let Debbie get ready to give us a little message and song. Thank you for joining us.
Listening to the singing because I know I love myself, Miss Debbie. So I can't wait.
Thanks.
Love you.
Love you back.
All right, ma'am. Do you have a little something you might be willing to share with us?
I do. You know, I keep trying to decide. You know, I just had my first sold out Tina Turner tribute live band show. And see, every time I talk to y'all, I get this damn accent every single time.
Same. I don't have one, but I pull it out with them.
We blame it all on Dell. So I think I'm actually, I was going to do some Adele, but I think I'm going to switch to some Tina Turner.
Yes.
And it's one of those dark yet somehow uplifting moods.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to switch over to my microphone mode that will hopefully still sound good out there.
Hello. Hi.
Yes. Oh, I love her.
I like to do my NPR voice. Today we'll be talking about cheese.
Oh.
All right, here we go, y'all. Can you hear that well?
Yes.
All right. Normally I'd be wearing a really, really tight outfit. Out of the blue winds, out from the can't break the same mistake this time. We are the children, last generation. We are the ones they left behind. And I wonder if we are ever gonna change. Living under the fear till nothing else remains. We don't need another hero. We don't need another world. Oh, we can rely on. There's got to be something better out there. Love and compassion. That day is coming. All else I care so spilled in the end. And I wonder if we are ever gonna change. Living under the fear till nothing else remains. And all the children say we don't need another hero. We don't need another.
Glorious! It makes my heart so happy.
Stop.
No, do it again. Just start over. Just take us back.
Oh, thank you so much.
So exquisite.
Thank you. I find that it's just so bizarre performing without looking in someone's eyes. It's so Yeah, we need each other.
Knowing that the people are out there, putting the spirit out. And if you want to put the spirit back to Debbie Holiday, join her for Debbie's Den on Sunday night. What time?
7 p.m. PST, PD.
Yes. Oh. And other people, we got Levi Christ at 2 p.m. His gospel hour on Facebook. We have Matt Yee on Facebook on Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The People's Couch is when, Emerson?
The next on Wednesday.
Okay. And then Blake MacGyver on his Facebook all the time. He's doing cocktail hour. Fantastic.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, Debbie.
My pleasure. I miss you guys. I can't wait to hug you again. You're so close and so far.
We love you so much. Bye. All right. Well, if you are enjoying our show, thank you so much for joining us for the hour. If you want to give us $1 or five or three, something out of your change virtually, you can Venmo me at Emerson Collins. It's in the ticker below. Or you can PayPal us at beardcollinsshoresproductions.com. Anything and everything helps as we work hard to assemble this to keep you entertained. And if you joined us late in the show, as soon as we're done, you'll be able to watch the beginning part and share it with your friends. Tell them to join us. We'll keep growing the show.
Yes. And one last plug, because I promise. HelpWeHo.com. Give a little bit to help all the workers in West Hollywood. If you've ever had a drink in West Hollywood, if you've ever had a meal, go there and help. I gave, and it's a fantastic way to help some people who were always kind to me. So
yeah, some places we've really enjoyed. And our friend Scott Fullerton's been really running that with them with his Left of Straight show as well. So thank you for all everyone's doing to support all of the out of work people.
Yeah, thank y'all so much for joining us today. We have such a fun time with you, and y'all just, stay in, stay safe, and stay healthy. We love you.
We'll be back on Tuesday.